When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's the top of the week, 2022. Welcome back and good luck to us all. I feel like is the greeting we should start saying more often here. We had a tough time, I think, over the past week, finding the stories we really wanted to stick with. Just for recaps, Japanese construction companies are building mechs. That's true. There are doubts about whether or not Musk will actually buy Twitter. We've upped our meme game on social media. So thanks to all our fellow conspiracy realists participating in that. Today, we're going to talk about a strange case with baptism and death. We're going to talk about a real life example happening now of the dangers we warned about for years with water shortages that will be coming to affect a municipality near you. And then we're also going to talk about one of the newest conspiracy theories, one that you may have heard about just in the past week or so, concerning food supplies. Have you guys heard about all the various like attacks and food processing disasters across the U.S. today?
Ben, I've not heard of this at all. I noticed something over the weekend about a recall of meat products. And when you mentioned to us what you're covering today, I thought that's what we were talking about. I thought that was the story you were bringing up. Was this one case of a meat processing plant that was like, yeah, maybe there's some E. coli, let's shut the whole thing down. But that is not at all what we're talking about here.
You're talking about attacks on like food supply chain?
Right. Well, that's the idea. Yeah. So we know that there have been a number of disasters at various food processing facilities like cereal mills,
salad packaging plant in California. That burned to the ground on April 13th. It was a major food processing facility at Taylor Farms. And then just a few weeks before that, in Maine, a potato processing plant was destroyed, also by a fire. Here in stuff that I want you to know is home state of Georgia, light planes, actual airplanes, were crashing into food processing areas. This also happened in Idaho. Animal feed mill burned down in Louisiana in January. There was a food bank in Arizona that caught a fire in March. And there are more and more and more. And this, yeah, this has led to the birth of a new conspiracy theory. The gist being that someone, some entity or some force is seeking to disrupt typical food supply chains and then perhaps take advantage of that chaos. In some cases, you'll hear speculation that there's a larger company that is attempting to take this chaos and use it as a way of consolidating their own control over mass agriculture. If so, it's scary, scary stuff, right?
Is there a world where this could be some weird niche version of eco-terrorism because of all of the, additives and things that are being put in food and GMOs and all that, some kind of version of like disrupting that system, even if it's to the detriment of a, large group of people and possibly populations that are less wealthy and have to rely on processed foods. Maybe don't have the luxury of buying, organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the fear is coming from a real place. And before we dive in too much with this, we do have to say the following things are demonstrably true. One, yes, food processing plants have been burning down. Those facilities, in many cases, have been rendered unusable as a result of these fires. Two, we can say that anybody who lives in this country and pays attention to their bank account knows that the cost of average things are accelerating at a higher than average pace. You know, everything from your local quesadilla stand to wherever you buy produce, wherever you buy gas, shoelaces, gimlets for your shoes, whatever, you name it, it's more expensive in most cases than it was in the years previous. So those fears are kind of commingling and mixing and blending into this smoothie of conspiratorial thought. So if we were to look at this critically, as a conspiracy theory, if we were to practice conspiracy realism, then first we would need to find out who or what would profit from the results of those disruptions, of those disasters. And in that case, usually what you're going to hear in these theories is going to be something like it's a big food brand or holding company, right? Like they'll say, oh, it's a Monsanto or it's Yum Brands or something. And their basis for that thought is that those are very, very large entities. But that's not enough. You know what I mean? That's not enough to prove the case. And if you think about it that way, let's just put that to the side for a second. And we say, okay, well, what if in that case, what if there is, how would they profit? Would they buy up this stuff or would they be able to maybe swoop in to the market and sell, like now they sell the cereal because the other place got knocked out or they sell the potatoes, right? Something like that.
I have to tell you, this is not, my mind doesn't go to eco-terrorism or that, Ben. And my mind right now, just when I'm thinking about everything, it goes to warfare, when you're engaged even in a proxy war or in full-scale war with another country or superpower, one of the main targets are, supplies, specifically food supplies, and, attempting to starve an enemy out. That's where my mind went, not thinking about the profits, but that to me, what you're saying is way more plausible to me than, Russia or some other world power that has ill intentions on us attacking our food chain in that way.
I just want to just a cursory Google of my initial gut theory, I guess, the eco-terrorism angle. There, I haven't seen any examples of this popping up yet in the States, but I did an article from a website called Genetic Literacy Project. Science, not ideology, is their tagline. Came up saying, age of eco-terrorism, why are activists attacking the most productive part of our food industry, modern agriculture? And this is happening in Brittany, France, where a grain train was sabotaged and destroyed very recently, March 19th, in Brittany, France. And it was packed with 1,500 tons of wheat that were intended for chickens at a cooperative. So It doesn't seem like it's out of the realm of possibility that could make its way here and disrupt food chains that are seen as being less than friendly to the environment, which these massive prepackaged, you know, industrialized processing plants certainly could be seen as.
Yeah, there's an interesting distinction, which didn't, I don't know if we hit it hard enough in the eco-terrorism episode, but one of the hallmarks of terrorist organizations or those who engage in terroristic activities is that they want to be identified. They want you to know who did it and why, right? And in this, yeah, in France, then that would make sense. There's probably a clear indicator of who at least claimed responsibility. This is not so. If there were some nefarious entity behind this, it hasn't identified itself as of yet. And then we also need to think about how complicated it would be to pull off this stuff. We also need to think about how strange it would be for any entity, even powerful enough to perpetrate something like this, how weird it would be for them to be so Rube Goldberg-esque about it, to make every attack a game of mousetrap such that it looks like an accident in every case.
It sounds more like a supervillain, Ben.
It does.
Like some supervillain.
Yeah. He's the food daddy. Yeah.
There's a fantastic line in this Daily Dot article about this. This is conjecture, and you're like positing what's it says. Is it mere coincidence? Just some bad things happening at the same time? Or is it a sinister plot to starve the United States and cull the herd of useless eaters? I love useless eaters. That is solid writing right there.
Yeah, that's a shout out to Mike Rothschild, the author of that. That's why I wanted to post that one. That came in as we were recording today. So, Mike, thank you. You played a big part in today's show. The issue is that this, lest we all panic, right? There are other much more real things to panic about. This is kind of easily disproven. First, yes, the food supply chain is going to be a problem. There are allegations about Russia attacking Ukrainian grain storage sites, but the bigger picture, whether you think that's propaganda or true, the bigger picture is going to be what happens to African nations that rely on Russia and Ukrainian agricultural supplies. The food supply chain in the U.S. and abroad is only going to be increasingly disrupted as the amount of arable land continues to erode. But in this case, we can say this is kind of false. And to understand why it's false, all you have to do is look back at other stories of fires at food processing facilities. They're kind of common. They're not infrequent in 2019, in 2020, it goes on. And there hasn't really been year over year an uptick, in these incidents. This is something you see reported in Daily Dot. You can also, I want to give a kudos to WCNC outside of Charlotte, whose co-authors had a little bit of a deeper look into this based on tweets, because this thing was blowing up on Twitter for a while. But if you look at comments from people like Sarah Little, the VP of Communications at North American Meat Institute, which is a thing, NAMI, to Todd Super, who is running things over at the National Chicken Council as their senior VP of Communications, or even the USDA, Department of Agriculture, they've all responded that what we're seeing here, when you're looking at these posts on social media that talk about this sort of stuff, what they're doing is taking very real problems and real events, and they're kind of trying to connect them in often tenuous ways that are disprovable. And again, if you're already primed to believe this stuff, there's a big part of your brain that's going to be kind of mad at you for disproving what it already assumed. That's why it can be tough. You can see lists that have something like 20 articles referencing similar events, ostensibly similar events, or 18 or even 16. And when you look at them presented that way, when they're curated that way, it can look a lot like a trend. But the issue is, again, that you can make a list like this for many other years leading up to now. And when you think about the numbers, the U.S. has more than Snopes pointed this out to, and I verified some of their sources as well. In 2019, the U.S. had more than 36,000 different processing outfits for food and beverages. That means that if you look at the 26 news articles Snopes listed in their, you know, here's 2019 approach to this and that comparison, that's less than 1% of those facilities. So this is kind of like saying there have been troubling reports of car accidents in every state across the U.S. over the course of January 2022. Who's sabotaging all these cars? You know what I mean? The answer is not some Bond-esque emperor of traffic lines. The answer instead is human error in most of those cases. So we have to be really careful with the way information is framed, the way it ends up getting depicted. And the thing is, I feel like these kind of stories are going to continue regardless of analysis or the facts, simply because it is such red meat, right? For people who are already trying to find a specific example of fears and trends. With that being said, you know, consider our earlier Strange News segment on that water processing hack over in Florida. That was one time, and people lost, beat me here, Doc, people lost their minds because it's scary. So if there were purposeful attacks on food processing plants in a coordinated way across the country, this would be much bigger news. This would not just be a Twitter post.
And you don't even have to hack the water plants anymore. The water is just not going to be in there.
That's the setup. Yeah. That's something else we're going to see in the third act of this week's segment. For now, just wanted to put this on your radar. If you want to find more information about this, then I would recommend looking at some of those articles I had just cited. Check out Snopes. They did a great overview of this. But also check out the real geopolitical concerns about coming food shortages due to the war in Ukraine. That is going to be hitting people harder. We should also do an episode about fakeflation. It's a word I made up for some of this stuff because I was thinking, I think it'll work. I was thinking about, you know, how gas prices will go up at these predictable demands, but then also gas prices will go up. And the reason you're given is that it's A, insert administration here, or that it's B, global shortages. But then when those things get fixed or changed or whatever, a new administration comes in, the whatever conflict that's being blamed for this is resolved, how come those prices don't go down? They never go back down to where they were. I'm telling you, fakeflation. Anyway, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors. We'll return with more Strange News.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time-ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
And we're back. If the story I'm about to describe sounds like the plot of a kind of B-level, swampy, backwoods, like stalker horror film, it's probably because it definitely has that kind of potential. Not to diminish the lives that are being affected or that potentially were affected directly by this story, but you can't ignore that aspect of it. I'm just going to read the headline that I found from News 9 ABC in Tennessee. Saudi Daisy woman at center of deputy baptism lawsuit found dead in home Wednesday. Okay, so this is essentially a follow-up to another story that I wish we would have caught earlier, because it happened, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that this lawsuit that was described in the headline was given the go-ahead to go forward. I just found an article in the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Judge OK's lawsuit against ex-Hamilton County deputy for baptizing woman after traffic stop. So what happened? What you're asking yourself? The name of the woman was Chandel Marie Riley. She was 42 years old. Back in 2019, she was stopped for a traffic stop by a deputy sheriff, Daniel Wilkie. He pulled her over outside, just outside of her ex-mother-in-law's home. It wasn't clear exactly what the stop was for. I imagine it was something relatively routine. I mean, she was so close to home. Maybe he was following her for a little bit if she was speeding or ran a stop sign or something simple like that. That's surely what it seems like. I wouldn't imagine typically getting pulled over right outside your final destination, but it certainly happens. If it's in like a residential area, maybe you made a boo-boo and, you know, rolled through a stop sign and then the cop follows you home. It's a little creepy in and of itself, but not completely unheard of. But what is completely unheard of is that the deputy, you know, asked her probably typical round of questions, and she admitted, you just don't do this, people. Just don't do it. It's just, you don't have to do it. Don't do it. She admitted that she had a marijuana roach in her cigarette pack. You just don't do that. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to shame the dead here, but it's just, they have no right to search you. I guess if that's probable cause, they certainly can, I suppose. But then if you are found to have had your rights violated, they can be upheld by a court. But we are talking about pretty rural part of the South, where sort of the network of good old boy stuff that extends all the way up to the courts, unfortunately, a lot of times.
And if you consent to a search, probable cause goes out the window.
100%. Thank you. So you just say no. Say no. If they force it upon you, you at least have that future protection if probable cause did not truly exist. It's always easy for a cop to say they smell marijuana. Didn't sound like that was the case, though. It sounded like, you know, a lot of times they'll say, you know, do you have any drugs in the car, or do you have any weapons or whatever? And some people that maybe don't know their rights well enough will give that stuff over, and it's just not, it doesn't like absolve you of the consequences of having it. So the sheriff deputy said, okay, well, I'm going to give you an ultimatum. I'm going to give you a choice here. I'll either take you to jail, or you can go into your ex-mother-in-law's house, get some towels, and walk with me down to this lake here and allow me to baptize you in the water.
Ooh. I mean, the parade of red flags.
First of all, can you imagine how you would feel in that situation? Especially if you're like vehemently anti-religion or anti, you know, I would feel violated on so many levels. Like,
I would say yes, but just because I don't believe in it, honestly.
I 100%. Of course I would say yes. And I don't believe in what it stands for, the meaning behind it. But it's essentially the same as being asked to bend over and bark like a dog. You know, I mean, it's the same as being it's a form of humiliation. I would argue.
It's incredibly illegal.
It's incredibly illegal. So that happened. And when she walked into the house, the mother is like, what are you doing? She goes, I guess I'm, her quote from her is, I guess I'm fixing to get baptized. And I have to say, there's an article about this in Religion News Services. Well, it doesn't come right out and say this guy sucks and did a thing that makes the rest of us, you know, religious folks look bad. It reported on it pretty even-handedly and definitely was not like he was out there doing God's work, because that is not what that is. That is absolutely an act of coercion, and that is how it is being tried. So essentially, the woman filed a lawsuit against the deputy, and his buddy, by the way. He had his buddy, who's another deputy, come and join. I guess you got to have like a, I don't know, an assistant for a baptism. I didn't think
The statement that was given, why I think his name's Jacob Goforth.
That's right.
Was the other Goforth, deputy.
Yeah.
The statement that was at least given or in this article was that
he filmed it. He was there to film it.
Well, there had to be a witness or for the baptism to be, I guess, legitimate or something in the eyes of Wilkie, the guy who did it.
Okay, well, that's what he was there for, and he also apparently filmed the whole thing on his cell phone camera. And also reportedly, in the same Religion News article, they describe it very matter-of-factly. Wilkie stripped down to his underwear and T-shirt and waded into the water. That's creepy in and of itself. And Riley, fully clothed, followed. Wilkie baptized her by immersion as Goforth filmed the event from his cell phone. Goforth later said that he filmed the event to protect all persons present and document the event. Okay. I don't see how it's protecting anybody. In any case, so there's a film that this reminds me of. I'm not meaning to be extreme and making the domination, you know, connections, but that's how it feels to me. There's a movie called Coercion. I believe that's what it's called. It basically is about a dude that like robs a fast food restaurant and holds a young fast food employee, restaurant employee hostage in the back of the restaurant just by like making these escalating requests. Eventually it ends up in just the most like degrading, humiliating circumstances you could possibly imagine, but it's like a frog boiling in water. You don't even know you're being abused until you think back on it, or you realize, oh, I'm tied to a chair or whatever it is, or oh, I'm out in the water with this weird dude in his underwear. I mean, I fully think this is a power play. It's like, and that is how that is how she characterized it in the lawsuit. She referred to it as it was about not about saving her soul, but about power and control. And it was not long before the body was discovered that a Tennessee judge gave the go ahead for this lawsuit against the ex Hamilton County deputy to move forward. So, of course, you know, I found this on a Reddit thread, and conspiratorial chatter is kind of going nuts, implying that, you know, this man hired somebody to kill this woman for ruining his life, whatever. That's how they would perceive it, I suppose. That he had a sibling or something that did it. There's a lot of talk about that kind of good old boy mafia mentality in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of possibilities. But it's a very troubling story. Mm-hmm. On a lot of levels, because I really do feel myself getting more and more worked up out of the more I talk about it, because that is just a flagrant abuse of power, you know, especially for a crime that already should be a non-issue. You're going to use that against somebody, threaten them with, you know, potentially life ruining situation, and arm twist them, you know, into doing something that you want them to do that they have no wherewithal to actually do. I just find it really despicable.
And it's strange, too, because, you know, for anybody unfamiliar with Hamilton County, like we said, we don't want to be unfair or paint with a broad brush, but there are plenty of firsthand experiences people have had, locals as well as visitors to the area, with, you know, clear bias on the part of law enforcement. Everybody who works in law enforcement in that area, of course, they're a human being. They have their own personal beliefs. But the question is, are they capable of separating those beliefs from the day-to-day duties of their job? You know, they've been accused of Islamophobia in the past. They've been they've been accused of talking openly on social media about the upcoming race war. I don't think that's the kind of person you want in charge of a firearm and the ability to pull you over on the road. You know what I mean? So they have a lot of stuff to work on, but it's really troubling. There was one comment that stood out to me, Noel. It's really troubling when you see statements like those of Robin Flores, the late Miss Riley's attorney, who says, we might not have nobody to continue to prosecute this case, because this lawsuit was already getting delayed multiple times due to the pandemic, right? So what's going to happen? Is this case going to get just thrown out?
Yeah, I mean, that there was some chatter about that on the Reddit thread too, and someone, you know, kind of pointed out that that's not really supposed to be allowed to happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we are talking about a rural area where politics isn't supposed to enter into this kind of stuff, into the law, but it can, and it's also a staffing issue, and I guess maybe because it's a police officer, there might be an easier route to throwing it out. To the judge's credit, Travis R. McDonough of the Tennessee Eastern District Court, I mean, he's got some damning things to say about this, and that I thought were very astute, saying, quote, in view of all the circumstances surrounding the incident, a reasonable person would have believed he was not free to leave, or would feel free to decline the officer's requests, or otherwise terminate the encounter. And I know that's like kind of legalese, a little muddled sounding, but I mean, essentially saying that a person of sound mind in that situation would have believed this was an ultimatum. This was a, you know, if you don't do this, I am taking you to jail. And therefore would have felt entrapped, because you know you're probably going to get out of the baptism, as humiliating as it might be, but you need to get into the system like that. You don't know where it could lead.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on with this one, guys. First of all, for anybody that was confused, Saudi Daisy is a place.
Yes, correct.
I didn't understand that in the beginning.
Yep.
And S-O-D-D. Saudi Lake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, as in, that is a Saudi Daisy. No.
You Saudi Daisy.
My understanding with the case and whether it can continue on, I think there's a good chance for it to continue on, because I believe the plaintiff, in this case, the woman who was found dead, was seeking, I believe, around $1 million for this. And according to some of the reporting there from Channel 9, if the children, her surviving children, want to continue the case, they can, because she'd already given her deposition and her testimony is already on record. So that it could be presented in the case if they wanted to continue forward with it. I have a feeling that will still happen, because we're talking about two very different things. The baptism and all the bad stuff that happened right in that moment and that encounter, and the lawsuit that came after that. But then also, she was found dead. Do we know if there's any information on that yet, or is it
there's not? They're waiting for the autopsy. I mean, that's obviously the impetus for talking about the story, but there's so much going on. That's just like the latest, like, you know, and we know nothing about it, so it's harder to talk about. But yeah, it's the kicker, right? And I appreciate you going into that, Matt, about how her kids could pursue it. Do we know who her surviving heirs are? I haven't seen anything about that in the stories that I've been reading.
Yeah, she has two children, and it would be up to them. They would essentially have to become the plaintiffs for the case, is the understanding.
Does it matter how old they are? Does it matter at all?
I'm not sure on that in that respect, but logically, I would imagine at least one of them has to be old enough to function as their own guardian, maybe.
I would imagine. So I mean, she was only in her early 40s.
42.
So there's certainly a potential that both of her kids are underage. Again, we don't know that, and they haven't released that info, the ages anyway. But just to wrap this up, Wilkie has been indicted on 44 charges, including 6 counts of sexual battery, 2 counts of rape, 9 counts of official oppression, extortion, stalking, and assault. Not sure about
that's the
rape.
Deputy.
Yes.
Wow.
The rape. I don't know. I don't understand what the 2 counts are there, because I'm gonna follow up on this. He was accused of groping her in the crotch area. These are other cases. Wilkie faces numerous lawsuits and several cases involving alleged excessive use of force, while including the alleged unlawful body cavity search of a man while performing a traffic stop. And Ben, you mentioned Islamophobia, certainly a thing that comes up in this part of the country. Our whole, where we live, you know, I mean, like the South. And there's, but you know what? We go to places like Oregon, where there's, you see it as this bastion of, like, you know, liberalism. And there are pockets, you know, that are about as scary and backwards as you could possibly imagine. Same with California. I mean, it's not limited. Ignorance is not limited geographically to anywhere in the world. But this guy Wilkie has a rap sheet. He has been, according to the Times Free Press article I mentioned, has numerous lawsuits pending against him in several cases involving, I'm just reading from it and then we'll move on, alleged excessive use of force, including the alleged unlawful body cavity search of a man while performing a traffic stop, and the alleged groping of female minors. The requested damages in the lawsuits in total are around $11 million. This is just adding on to the pile here. And according to Hamilton County official court documents, he has been indicted on 44 charges all in, including 6 counts of sexual battery, 2 counts of rape, 9 counts of official oppression, extortion, stalking, and assault, among others. Guys, I think he killed her. Just putting that out there. This is a bad guy. This is my opinion.
I don't think it would be that. I don't think it would be that person on their own.
No. I believe, maybe. Yes. Something is really, really rotten with this guy. And we'll have to follow this one up. But I'm sorry, this is went a little long, but and dark. But let's keep an eye on it, see where it goes, and take a break first, and we'll be back with some more strange news.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
All right, and we're back. And if everyone could do me a favor, if you have access to it, go ahead and just get a little cup of water. If you've got some kind of holding, you know, container, just put a little tap in there, whatever water your choice.
I got
as
you,
we
man.
Talk about
is Crystal Light okay?
Yeah,
is Monster okay?
Yeah, they all contain water, including my my iced coffee, which is probably at this point should be a controlled substance. But yeah, how convenient is it, Matt? Do you ever think about that? One time I turned on the shower and I thought, how amazing it is that not only is this always showing up whenever I want, but I, like so many other people in the developed world, get irritated if it's not the temperature I like. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, this potable, drinkable water is a little too warm or too cold for me.
Throw it out.
They don't have ice. This place is terrible.
Two wonderful things, right? Having access to water and then being able to change the temperature of that water using electricity and or, you know, gas and heat and fire. And also, you know, having natural gas plants that run on electricity. We'll get into it. It's a bit of a nice, real slope that we're going to be going on today. It starts at the mouth of the Colorado River. That's really where it begins. And where water travels all across these great United States until it reaches a little place called Lake Powell. And that is in Arizona, great state of Arizona, right at the Utah border. So if you're looking at maps, Google Maps or any other maps, you can see that where Lake Powell is, it's right on the border of Arizona and Utah, and which is important because the Colorado River is often used as a place where a state's line kind of cuts across. That's very frequent out in the western United States. And in this lake, which is the second largest reservoir that exists in the United States, reservoir, of course, just a holding place of water, place where water pools, if you will, in lake form, so they can be used for various things. One of the main things that it's used for is to have it pumped out to water treatment plants and other facilities that get the water ready for drinking, for showering, for washing dishes, for watering lawns, for all the things that we need, including, you know, water bottling plants, things like that. There's a problem in Lake Powell because there's a major drought going on in the West and has been happening for quite a while, and it's getting much, much worse. The water levels have been reduced almost, not quite, but almost to the point where some serious decisions are going to have to be made by people who run municipal and state stuff in Arizona, Utah, California, Colorado, everywhere out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a major drought that's about to be promoted to colonel, honestly. Yeah. This, like, it's super bad.
Oh, my goodness, man. My gracious. My lordy, lordy.
That's perfect.
It's a promo.
That was a nuclear grade joke right there.
Jeez.
So just quickly, the second thing that water is used for, if you think about all the mass, all the weight of that water sitting in this huge second largest reservoir in the U.S., it can be used for hydroelectric power, which involves that water being strategically released and flowing downwards, basically, to turn turbines that in turn create electricity that can be sent all over the place. And you can generate a ton of electricity because that water is being siphoned constantly. You just got constant electricity running through that thing at all times. That's where the Glen Canyon Dam comes in, because that's the dam that looks quite a bit like the Hoover Dam, if you take a look at it, again, on a Maps app or something, where the water just hydroelectric dam, like the one we have here in Atlanta called the Buford Dam, flows down, you get electricity. And as they send water down that dam, it continues the Colorado River, which then leads down to Lake Mead. Lake Mead is in Nevada, right on the Arizona border. And guess what's happening in Lake Mead, guys? The same thing.
Oh.
The same thing. So there's our problem, right? We generate electricity with this water for a lot of the Southwest. We use this water to provide water for much of the Southwest. And the amount of water that exists in these reservoirs is going away quickly. There's a CNN article. Title is Lake Powell Officials Face an Impossible Choice in the West's Mega Drought: Water or Electricity. You can find that right now. It was posted April 30th, written by Renee Marsh, and it's just a quick overview of the problems, the critical situation that the entire West faces when it comes to figuring out what to do when those reservoirs no longer fill up to capacity, when the pumps that are inside those reservoirs and connected to the dams and the water treatment facilities can't even get the water because it's so low that you can't suck any more water out of it because the pumps are too high in the water. Terrifying situation, guys. I can give a lot more details. Let's just talk about this because I don't know. It seems like there are no easy solutions here.
Not easy solutions defined as solutions that will make everyone involved happy. That's for sure. Mm. I mean, there are solutions that would require some pretty authoritarian moves on part of the government, right? But one of the big issues, I would argue, is the concept of the tragedy of the commons. These watershed disagreements and conflicts are only going to become more commonplace as time goes on. You know, in the Southeast, you see watershed disagreements. And we were unfortunately correct when we said water wars are coming, man. The issue is, like, you could, for instance, say, all right, this is not a Kobayashi Maru. You know, this is not that scenario from Star Trek where there is no correct answer. This instead brings out a lot of possible brutal solutions that, frankly, residents of the U.S. would never want to hear. It would be political suicide to say, okay, now you are going to have to ration electricity. You're going to ration your water intake to X amount of gallons per person per day. But there are countries that have done that. There are countries that are doing that, where it's just known that the electricity runs from, you know, this hour to this hour, mm-hmm. every 24 hours.
Well, let's talk about that, Ben. Because that dam, I forgot to mention this, the Hoover Dam is the second dam that also generates hydroelectric power from the Colorado yes. River right in that area. And it is also being affected. So it's two major dams. But that first one that I mentioned, the Glen Canyon Dam on Lake Powell, it provides electricity for 5.8 million homes in seven states throughout the western U.S. Mm-hmm. Like, think about that amount of power. And if there isn't enough water flow to generate that power, it's a scenario that Ben is describing where you begin by rationing power until you can no longer generate power from flowing water. If the water levels go down that far, then you have to find alternate energy sources. Generally in that area, it's going to mean burning coal. That's one of the major sources. There are a few awesome, huge solar facilities, or I don't know what you call them, arrays, where they can provide quite a bit of energy, but nothing compared to what those hydroelectric power plants in the dams produce.
Mm-hmm. And now it's 25% full. It's 32 feet away from not being a power plant anymore.
Exactly.
Silly question, but obviously hydroelectric power is a little more widely accepted than wind power, right? It's just something that it doesn't seem as controversial, right? Like as far as our power portfolio, when you hear, people that are maybe climate change deniers arguing against wind power, arguing against solar potentially because it's more expensive, but things like the Hoover Dam are considered a marvel of modern American ingenuity and all of that. Would you guys agree that culturally this is the case?
We've had them for a long time. The concept of damming up a river like this and controlling the water flow to produce electricity has just been happening for a long time. I think it's more ingrained in our just our conscious memory of the past,
but it requires certain circumstances and it requires certain natural features.
So just like geothermal energy, honestly, or wind power. But the thing is, what's brilliant about hydroelectric power is that you don't need a ton of complex material science knowledge, at least compared to what you would need for an efficient solar panel. And what I think is beautiful about hydroelectric power, even though it definitely is situation specific, the water is already going where it's going.
And you can use it still.
You're just having it. It's just doing a side job. It's like high-fiving you while it's walking by to where it was already headed. You're not doing too much with it. Now, of course, damming itself, which is part of this hydroelectric proposition, it can wreak havoc on wildlife. Yeah. It doesn't come without a cost. But I think it's safe to say that it's still on balance better than mining and burning coal, which is going to be
for sure.
Hopefully human history will look back on that as a phase and not a final fatal phase of the Anthropocene.
You mentioned, how water rationing is already a thing that usually we maybe see that in terms of when you're allowed to water your lawn, which is already a problematic thing in and of itself, kind of vanity thing that the Americans have the luxury of having this beautiful lawn that gets to suck up all this water that, people in other countries would kill to have a tiny, thimble full of. But we're talking beyond that, right? The measures this would require would be it wouldn't be the honor system, or how would they even track it? Is my question.
Well, here's the deal. We keep talking about that chain, the Colorado River to Lake Powell, down the Colorado River some more to Lake Mead. And the issue now is Lake Powell releasing fewer gallons of water in billions to go down the river to Lake Mead, which is the other reservoir. So right now there's a proposal. I think this is happening in early May. So we're recording this on Monday, May 2nd. The results may have come back from, the think tanks of the governments of these various states coming together and talking about this and getting, some kind of solution across a table. But right now, the proposal, I'm going to quote from the CNN article, calls for holding back the equivalent of 42.6 billion gallons of water in Lake Powell, which means deeper cuts to the amount of water people can use in Arizona, California, Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming. And they're already holding back. I've got it in here somewhere, guys, but around 110 billion gallons of water in 2022 has already been held back. So they're already attempting to preserve the water levels in Lake Powell by not releasing it.
That's the question, too. Another controversial part of this very damaging group project is figuring out which industry gets water, right? Especially when we're talking about very thirsty agricultural things, like livestock, or I don't have the agricultural stats of the countries of the states named right now. They're all still states, not independent countries. But the big question is one of cost benefits sometimes too, right? Like the idea of saving ecology or local wildlife goes to the wayside very quickly when people feel their lives or their jobs are on the line. But then the next step of that, you know, like the second gate that this Atreyu walks through in this never-ending story is the problem of whether authorities prioritize those businesses and those industries or the people. You know, like one of the reasons that droughts have become so problematic, it's not just climate change. It's exacerbated by this massive infrastructure of very thirsty things. Like you can look up how much water it takes to create one almond. I'm just saying almonds because they're delicious. And Doc was eating some earlier off air. And, you know, I'm back on my cashew thing. But if you look at it that way, then you have to start saying, okay, we're holding back this much water, right? Because we need it for the hydroelectric aspect of this dam to work. But then who is losing that water, losing that water then in that regard? Is it like an industry? Is it a group of people, a family of four? How do you tell? I don't know how you would.
It's
or how
everybody
you, how you
who wants water and lives in those states, right?
It's everybody south of the dam.
Yeah. On this side of the Colorado.
And guess who wants water? No one's immune from that. We need water. I just spent 3 days at a music festival. I know what it feels like to be dehydrated even a little bit. And it's bad. Like, your cells need that stuff to, like, survive. In the same way you need air. It's just not as quickly palpable. So this would absolutely, I mean, you know, not to always go to the Mad Max comparison, but Aquacola? I mean, that's the resource that the warlord has control over and is able to exert control over the population by giving them a little bit of water here and there and hoarding it over them. I mean, like, it's a fantasy film, but is it? I mean, it could, you know, he who controls the spice and all of that stuff. I mean, it could get that bad. I'm surprised there haven't been more, you know, groups that are trying to take control over those kinds of resources. You know,
it's a huge deal
going that direction.
I get it.
It's definitely happening. North Africa and the Gulf.
Noel, did you get to see the Stranger Things kids band?
Yeah, it was good. Joe.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it was exactly super solid. Joe. Now, the name of the band is Joe, DJO. I forget the actor's name, but he was the bully in the first season, and then he gets cool. But he's great. Kind of sounded like Tame Impala meets Flaming Lips, lots of synths and vocoders, and I was impressed. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Excellent. Well, you make a great point. Music festivals will not be a thing if there is no water.
Yeah. Sorry, just to follow up on that, you even realize what a currency water is when you're at the music festival, because people, there's water stations, but people are still carrying around the $5 bottles of water, cans of water, Liquid Death, which is the sponsor of the Shaking Knees Music Festival, because maybe the lines are too long, or they're like really dehydrated and they need it now, like, or they're just lazy and don't feel like walking because that's how thirsty they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start to see water as a currency when you get into those kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we're at time here, and time is the only thing we have. Right?
You put it like that, Matt.
Hopefully some water will make its way into the Western United States in a big way. It'll be a comeback. We'll make water great again.
Set your rain barrels out while you can, where it's legal to do so, because it's not legal anymore in all the places. And if you want tips on how to survive in the wild with minimal access to water or with no water. First off, in that latter one, you won't last long, but you can always write out to me directly for tips as someone who's been through it. Not pretty, not fun.
Not good.
Not good.
I was supposed to mention, man, not good. Desalination is one of the solutions to the water problem when you've got freshwater lakes that are running out. Massive desalination projects. There's one happening right now. Oh, Lord, I think the name of the company is Poseidon, which is a great name for a water company.
Tight. Yeah.
But it was a proposed desalination plant off the coast of San Diego, I believe. But I think it seems like it might not be moving forward. It's right now in debate on whether or not the project should move forward. But that's one of the only ways we can fix this problem. And all the coasts, all the places that have ubiquitous amounts of water, a water level that's going to continue rising over the next 100 years while we're still here. We could use that water, turn it into potable stuff, and then drink it and put it on our lawn. We just need a couple billionaires, maybe someone who has the ability to buy Twitter, to just be like, man, I'm going to do desalination now.
Boom. Right. Also, there are countries that are leading the way. I'm so glad you mentioned desalination. Saudi Arabia, like, that is keeping the country alive in a very real sense. There's also great work going on. I mean, throughout the Gulf Coast, UAE, Kuwait, Israel, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that eventually other countries will just have to start buying that technology from them.
Yep. Oh, and there are MIT students that just made an amazing desalination system the size of a suitcase. It's incredible. It's not going to help the problem that's on the level we're speaking of right now. But man, as a like portable desalination device, come on.
Oh, and maybe just build a bigger suitcase, guys. Right? There we go. That's the American solution to the problem. But no, that's beautiful, Matt, because now we're ending on a hopeful rather than a dystopian note. So it's sort of technology and collective human conscience racing against the consequences of the actions of previous generations.
Yeah, it's still dystopian, but I'm sorry.
We'll find a portmanteau that makes dystopian. It's dystopian hop, dystopian sheep. Well, whatever.
You know what's what's not dystopian? You said ghost and then coast right together, and my head just went straight to Space Ghost, and I'm happy there. So we'll be all right.
So that's where we'll end it today, folks. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. Join us next week for more strange news. Join us later on in this week when we're talking about any number of disturbing tales, the stuff they don't want you to know. And stay tuned for our upcoming weekly listener mail segment where we hear from my favorite part of the show, you. So how can I be a part of that, you may be asking? Well, we try to make it simple. As long as the power is on and the internet is connected, you can find us online.
Find us on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, at Conspiracy Stuff, on Instagram, at Conspiracy Stuff Show.
1-833-STD-WYTK for me. Just call it up and leave a message now. Yeah! You got 3 minutes. No, okay, that's it. Give yourself a cool nickname when you call in. You get 3 minutes, say whatever you want. Please let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you were in the cast of Stranger Things and also have a band, we want to hear from you.
Oh, that other guy's got a band. Finn Wolfhard's got a band called The Aubreys.
There's like four of them. I think there's four or five.
Yeah, but they're pretty good too. I mean, frankly, I think Joe is a little more my speed. But you always hear that and you're like, oh, it's going to be like a celebrity vanity project. I always like it when I'm proved wrong and surprised. So good job. I remember the guy's name. Joe Keery. Yeah, Joe Keery's his name.
There we go. Also, if you are not in the Stranger Things cast, we want to hear from you even more, honestly, than them. So give us a call. If you don't want to do that, instead, send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.